Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, creating laundry rooms with improved storage, workspace, and everyday function for one of the home's most used spaces. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Today, we're devoting our show to a topic that's about everyone who lives in the St. Louis region, and that's population and population trends. For many years now, the St. Louis metropolitan area has seen people come and go, and they've done so for many reasons. So we put out a call before today's show to get a sense of why. Among them are folks who responded, like Patty Watts and Shalua Day. Her family moved from St. Louis to Charlotte in 2022 for her husband's job. She says she loves St. Louis and where she used to live in Tower Grove South. She would consider moving back if the opportunity presents itself.
Charlotte is a much larger city and a lot more car-centric than where I lived in St. Louis. Although I enjoy parts of Charlotte, I really still miss being at home and being in St. Louis, being close to the park and, you know, being 20 minutes away from everything, living down the street from the Grand Business District. So there are things that make me question living in Charlotte versus living in St. Louis. I do enjoy the weather in Charlotte. It is much more sunny. It's a mild winter. I enjoy the airport in Charlotte. It is a lot bigger. You can get to Europe and the Caribbean and places like that in Charlotte. But it's nothing like St. Louis. It's nothing like the cuisine there, the culture there. It's an older city, a city that has roots and a spirit. And as much as I like the opportunities in Charlotte, Charlotte is a lot more gentrified, and a lot of their things that they're doing, although it's a bigger city, St. Louis has already done. And the crazy thing is, it doesn't have a zoo. And so I miss the St. Louis Zoo.
We also heard from college student Justin Boyle, who moved from St. Louis to San Francisco in 2022 for school.
The things that really validate the change of scenery or just access to opportunities, increased diversity. I would say the public transportation system is like night and day. You really don't need a car out here. That's very different from St. Louis. And I would say in general, it just feels a lot safer. Things that kind of make me question it is that, you know, in exchange for more of that diversity, I see a lot less black folk. That's something that's very shocking coming from St. Louis. It's a very it's a very noticeable thing that I've missed from back home.
He says he would consider moving back to St. Louis, but he's not married to the idea.
It's kind of happening at like a breakneck pace where I'm seeing like all these different developments pop up in the city. And I also know that they have like, and I say this with caution, redevelopment plans that are going on in St. Louis. So I know that they are, you know, prepping it for something. So I kind of peeped the vision that, you know, they're kind of making it desirable. So, you know, I would move back. But, you know, there's also a lot of cities out there.
So that was just a couple of responses we got before the show. But we also want to hear from you, particularly if you are living here in St. Louis now. What keeps you in the St. Louis region? Why did you move here? And perhaps you've considered leaving. Give us a call at 314-382-8255 or email us at talk@stlpr.org to share some of your thoughts and your insights. To anchor our conversation in some numbers and observations about population trends, we have Ness Sandoval, a professor of sociology and demography at St. Louis University. Welcome back to the program, Ness.
Thank you very much.
So let's start with those numbers. You did a presentation on May 1st, and that was to the St. Louis Budget and Public Employees Committee. What exactly were you sharing with them?
The goal of the presentation was to talk about the demographic hurdles and opportunities for the St. Louis metropolitan region, and specifically to talk about some trends in St. Louis County, St. Charles County, St. Louis City, and Jefferson County. And trying to tell people what the data is saying regarding births and deaths. We often don't like to talk about people dying, but as a demographer, there's three demographic transitions, mm-hmm. Fertility, mortality, and migration. And so we have to talk about the number of people who are dying every day, the number of babies born, and ultimately the number of people who move in and out of a region. And trying to get a sense, there are larger demographic trends that are happening in the United States. Mm-hmm. In 2040, the Congressional Budget Office estimates that births and deaths are going to equal each other in the United States. That's going to be a historic moment. Mm-hmm. Around 2042, we'll have more people dying than are born in the United States, which means that 100% of the growth in the United States is going to come from immigrants. St. Louis is one of nine of the top 50 metropolitan regions that have more people dying than are born. And so we have to understand that's our reality today. It doesn't appear it's going to change. Mm-hmm. It's getting better, but we just have an older population, and fertility is dropping very fast in the state and in the region.
Mm-hmm. What are some of those other metropolitan areas to sort of give us a sense of who our peers are?
Well, the first metropolitan region that actually confronted this was Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. It's been in a demographic winter for over a decade. Then we joined Pittsburgh along with Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo. And so of those regions, we are the largest when we compare ourselves to Pittsburgh and Cleveland, mm-hmm. in terms of metropolitan size. And so we have to track this very carefully because we can lose anywhere from 6,000 to 7,000 people per year, mm-hmm. Natural decline. And so over a 10-year period, that can be 70,000 people lost,
right,
from births over deaths. And so we have to track this very carefully because we were always a region that grew because of births over deaths. Mm-hmm. That's no longer true, and it's no longer true for Missouri as a state. Mm-hmm. 80% of the counties in Missouri have more people dying than are born. So these are very difficult hurdles to get over if you don't have young families moving to the region with children, and you're not building attainable housing for those families.
Mm-hmm. And these hurdles are ones that are built by years compounding one on another rather than looking at 1 year and then the next.
Yes, we can project. So we can look at the number of babies born and we can look at the outmigration by age. Typically, babies leave with their parents. So mm-hmm. we can get a sense that there is outmigration happening from the region of families leaving. And I think the challenge for the region is that we have Black families who are leaving the region.
Right.
And young single Black residents leaving the region. Mm-hmm. And so that's a different trend than the births and deaths trend. And so right. These are two demographic hurdles for the region that it has to overcome if it wants to achieve population growth. I want to caveat that there are many things that we can be proud of in the St. Louis City and the St. Louis region. There are lots of good things happening. And so today we're just going to talk about population growth, which is just one metric. But there are other metrics that are out there in terms of quality of life, quality paying jobs, housing. And so we have to remember that not to really focus on population growth as the be-all, end-all.
Mm-hmm, right.
That there's a quality of life out there that we can focus on, even though we may be experiencing population decline.
Mm-hmm. So we'll certainly be diving into that a little bit more. We have a caller, Jason, who's calling from St. Louis. Jason, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Hi, Elaine. I was born and raised in the Central West End, moved to New York City for 16 years after college, and have been home for about a decade. The recent Wall Street Journal indictment of downtown St. Louis, I think is spot on, but there was no diagnosis. To my mind, there's a singular structural problem. Rex Singfield put his finger on it, although he tried to implement it through force. The municipal division between city and county, there's a zero-sum game in the region. Every new high-rise that I see coming up in Clayton is a bunch of leases from businesses that were predominantly in downtown St. Louis. Unlike Indianapolis, the UNIGOV there in Nashville that have a unified region, The division here is just exacerbates the underlying. That is the structural problem in my mind. And mm-hmm. until that is ameliorated, there is just a lack of dynamism here that I think that Wall Street Journal clearly articulated without giving kind of a the underlying reason why. Mm-hmm.
Jason, thank you so much for your comment. Nessa, are you familiar with that Wall Street Journal article?
Absolutely.
Okay. What are your thoughts, you know, given what Jason has shared and what was in that piece?
So this topic is not new. In 1973, a report was issued by RAND in conjunction with St. Louis University, Washington University, and the University of Missouri, St. Louis. 1973. St. Louis was the first city to lose 25% of its population. And so there was great concern at the U.S. level of what was happening. But in that report, it was very clearly stated that municipal reform was needed, and St. Louis City and St. Louis County needed to think about how they were structured as two different counties. So this mm-hmm. is not a new topic. This has been talked about since 1973. Mm-hmm. The hurdle here is that you have too many municipalities in the region, and no one is acting in concert with each other in terms of economic development, in terms of priorities for economic growth. And so it is a challenge. If St. Louis City simply doesn't have enough resources today to try to achieve the type of housing development that we need, it has to. And St. Louis City and St. Louis County, when you look at the migration patterns, are essentially the same county. People mm-hmm. move in and out of the city and county every single day. They cross that boundary every day for work. And so there should be some type of discussion about a unified government mm-hmm. between the two counties.
Right. That is certainly something we've talked about on this show and has been a conversation for a long time, as you've noted. And that Wall Street Journal article had to do with downtown St. Louis, specifically the business district there and the deterioration of the Railway Exchange building. You know, when it comes to national coverage like that, how much does that outside looking in affect how people perceive St. Louis as a place to live?
Well, there are many downtowns that are struggling. San Francisco, the Denver. And so this is, I think, unfortunately, we see these stories and it drives perception. But I actually think downtown is, there's actually more people living in downtown today compared to 2010. Mm-hmm. So people want to live downtown. There's a lot of new development happening downtown. But what you don't see downtown are families with children.
Right.
And we're losing families with children in that downtown area and mm-hmm. in North St. Louis City and in South St. Louis City. And so we're replacing families with children with double income, no kids, or single individuals, which is fine. But we have to understand the demographic consequences if we continue to lose families with children to the suburbs.
Mm-hmm. Now, we also heard from James Jones. He grew up in St. Louis and left in 2000, right after college, because of a business opportunity in Atlanta. We're sort of thinking about other places people are going. Now, James ended up starting his own business there and lived there until 2022 when he moved back to St. Louis to be with his partner and to be closer to his mother, who recently turned 80. So this is another way of thinking about family yes. and household. James said that he doesn't necessarily see himself staying here long term, however.
Just looking to get out and spread my wings. There's nothing really in St. Louis that's, you know, beyond family that is really a drive for me to be here. I think the environment is a little bit too conservative and closed off, and like the people that I've run into in a lot of different circumstances. I'm really thinking about in the workplace.
James also shared where he's thinking of moving to.
I really would like to go to a beach because I love the beach. Denver, something a town as well that's progressive and has a lot of outdoor activities. I'm an outdoorsman and a camper. So those are the areas that I could think of, Texas, Houston, Dallas, Charlotte, and or Denver.
Now, something that he's mentioned is what climate and what physical environment is their natural physical environment. And we actually have someone else calling with a comment about that. Barbara is calling from St. Louis. Barbara, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. I just wanted to add a little bit more of an optimistic point of view. The way I see it is, yes, St. Louis is going through population loss for whatever reason. However, with the shortage of water out west, the flooding and the fires and all the other kind of climate change kind of consequences on both coasts, I do believe that people will be moving farther into the Midwest. They're already moving into Arizona and so forth, and that they will be coming in from both coasts, so that the parochialism here is going to probably be broken up, especially when young people are moving back. And we have the two big waterways, which would probably more solidly guarantee water supply, and also barge traffic and that sort of thing, which I think will improve the quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with all the other callers with regard to people moving out and maybe moving back. But St. Louis has a homey feeling that everybody knows everybody else, and I think people are looking for that today, especially with the loneliness gap we have.
Barbara, thank you so much for calling. So insofar as what the positive points are, we're definitely going to get into that a little bit more. We want you to join the conversation in the same way that we had some folks who responded to us via Facebook. Jackson wrote that he moved here for a job and stayed, fell in love with the walkable, affordable neighborhoods with restaurants and businesses mixed within. There are plenty of other places we'd love to live, but could never afford to live in the same type of neighborhood in those cities. We're going to take a very quick break here, but we'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
Welcome back. Now let's return to our conversation about population trends in the St. Louis region, why people are staying and going, and what that all means. I'm here with Ness Sandoval, who's professor of sociology and demography at St. Louis University, and I'd like to add a new voice to this conversation. That is the voice of Ari Obenson, president and CEO of International Institute of St. Louis. Welcome to the show, Ari.
Thank you very much for having me.
So I think it probably goes without saying sort of what perspective you are representing as we're talking here about population trends and doing something to change the downward trajectory of population here in the St. Louis region. Can we start first, though, with when you came to St. Louis and what it is that brought you here?
Yeah. Well, I've been living in the St. Louis region out west since 2002, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I came here essentially to work for an international organization that used to be based in Miami, but moved its headquarters from Miami to Chesterfield, Missouri, believe it or not.
It's a big change.
Yeah. And the reason was that they had been in a building out in Miami that was aging, and it would have just been too expensive to renovate it. And they had the opportunity, somebody offered them land in Chesterfield, and they moved to Chesterfield. So mm-hmm. that's how I ended up living in St. Louis. And mm-hmm. I've been here 22 years
right.
now.
Yeah. And you've stayed.
And I stayed.
Why is it that you stayed here?
I would say on the one hand, it's that I had work here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think on the other hand, because my kids were born here, we've always looked at this option of moving out of St. Louis. But at the end of the day, staying has always outweighed leaving the region.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, that's a lot more with we like bringing up our kids in this area, in this region.
Right, yeah. Right. So insofar as other immigrants are concerned, I mean, what is it that attracts immigrants to St. Louis as opposed to other places that are growing?
Yeah, I would say immigrants are people with dreams, and those dreams are usually invested in family. And I think immigrants are really attracted to places where they can have opportunity to provide for their families. I think that's a baseline that we see with immigrants. If they can provide a better life for the next generation than themselves, that's attractive for immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Ness, immigration is something that you have talked about on this show with me in the past. What is the role of immigration in addressing sort of what you were talking about earlier about that difference between deaths and births?
Yes, it's one piece of the puzzle for the St. Louis metropolitan region. If we just look at the latest numbers that came out in March, if we would have had 2,000 more immigrants in the region, we would have reported a net positive increase in migration. So we're very close.
Mm-hmm.
The birth and death is different. That's natural change. So when we look at population growth, there's two components, natural change and migration. So the region's getting very close to getting positive migration because it's bringing more immigrants in compared to domestic migration leaving.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first challenge. This demographic decline, it's a completely different challenge because there aren't enough immigrants that will come to the St. Louis region that will be able to offset that natural decline.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get enough immigrants to offset the domestic outmigration.
Sure.
And so that's the challenge, that if you're asking immigrants to offset both parts of the decline, you're going to need about 12,000 immigrants every year coming to the St. Louis. And that's a difficult proposition, especially when every other metropolitan region is trying to attract those immigrants to their region. Because the latest data shows that immigrants are actually more likely to start a business than native-born Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're looking for the American dream, but part of the American dream is starting a business.
Right.
And other cities want those businesses in their cities as well.
Mm-hmm. What have you observed around that, Ari, insofar as those who've moved here to St. Louis, are they starting those businesses? And are they then, you know, able to sort of build upon a dream?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the immigrant story. And I'd like to just touch a little bit on what Ness said with reference to closing that gap using immigration. But as we speak, we are seeing the largest number of arrivals into St. Louis than we've ever seen. And maybe that's because Ness has beat the drum loud enough and people are beginning to pay attention. As we talk about arrivals, I say it's a challenge. It's a crisis for this community. But it's also a huge opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
As we talk about other metropolitan cities competing for the immigrant population, what I say is the 600,000 Latinos that now have parole to stay and work in the United States that we can engage. The Biden administration is trying as much as possible to reach a ceiling of 125,000 refugee arrivals that had been left in camps since the last in the last administration. We as a community can make a choice where we attract a lot more immigrants. We're aggressive in attracting them and giving them a pathway to succeed here, and be able to close that gap. But in the long run, what I also see, and Ness may talk about this, is that these immigrants, the average age that we're seeing is about 25, so they're younger. And likely to have larger families over a period of time. So the more we can attract them, maybe so at some point it offsets that deficit that we're seeing in terms of birth rates. But, you know, maybe Ness can talk about that, how that plays out in long term. Now, from the business perspective, yes, we also have an economic development department at the Institute, and we see this national numbers play out where, let's say, 1 in 5 immigrants start a business. We've seen that locally as well. We're seeing people who 18 months after arrival in St. Louis are starting a business. We've seen them access small loans to be able to start their own businesses. And especially in this market where people can start as Uber drivers or DoorDash, we're seeing all of that play out with our new arrivals.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that we've talked about on the show before is not just infrastructure in terms of, you know, housing, but also the support that is available for people who are coming here from other countries. So are we ready in that way? I mean, is St. Louis, compared to some other places around the country, in a better position than, I mean, than our peers might be, Ari?
I think we're ready. I think that we as with the International Institute and our local partners, we've been able to build infrastructure and the collaboration that has been able to help people. I mean, we saw that with the Afghan arrivals, and we've compared what we're doing here in St. Louis with what's happening with other resettlement agencies in other parts of the country. I think St. Louis as a community, this is not said about this community. The community really comes together to support support immigration and immigrants arriving into St. Louis. Obviously, there are other infrastructural challenges that we need. We need more housing in the city and mm-hmm. even in the county to put these families and to keep them in the city. We really need bigger apartments, the 3 to 4 bedrooms, to keep families down here. But from an infrastructure standpoint, I think the immigrant service providers really collaborate and work together towards welcoming new arrivals in this community.
Mm-hmm. If we do have the housing, there is still another issue, which is education. And I think that that is something that many people will talk about privately. They will also do it very publicly as well. We had a response from Mary on Facebook, and she said, I moved back to St. Louis because of family roots and for schools. Big mistake. Staying because of family and childhood nostalgia. Lack of accessible housing and the hot housing market make moving here difficult for the working class and especially immigrants. You had a demographer on a show last year, that was you, Ness, who explained why STL is not growing like other cities. Young families don't consider it safe, and the school system is not reliable. So insofar as that education piece goes, I mean, we can build all the housing, but what do we do about that?
So this is the city, right? This is, they're specifically talking about St. Louis City.
Yes.
Yeah, so there has to be an investment in the St. Louis public schools. It needs more money. But the schools also have to understand the trends that are coming. There are going to be fewer children in the St. Louis public schools because there are just fewer babies being born. And so St. Louis Public Schools needs to have a strategic plan to reduce the, actually, you have to start reducing the number of schools that are there and build quality schools, not quantity schools. And it's one of the things I find challenging are the number of charter schools that are being created, given the declining birth rate. I mean, we have to take this seriously as a region, as policy leaders, that we know we have fewer children being born. We know that this trend's not going to turn around. You don't see other cities in the country doing what we're doing in St. Louis City mm-hmm. and creating more schools that simply don't have a long-term viability plan. And it's unfortunate because we know that stability is one of the most important ingredients for children.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they start a school and 5 years later that school's not in business, then those parents get frustrated. And I think this is part we have to understand why parents and families are leaving, because they have found these schools in Ladue, in Chesterfield, in the Francis House. They found stable public school systems that that are attractive for these families. So I think that there is a lot of positive things that we can build around for the St. Louis public school system,
mm-hmm.
but we have to support it.
Right.
And we have to help them reorganize so they can be more efficient and provide better quality schools.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, to what extent is education in the city then a factor in why people decide to live in the city or not? I mean, insofar as sort of like looking at the big pie, what portion of that pie?
It's probably the most important factor happening today. And mm-hmm. it's happening with immigrants.
Yes.
It's happening with, we have now two data points for Latino families leaving the city with children. And we have pretty good data on Black families with children leaving the city.
Mm-hmm.
White families with children have left the city. It's a small number that are leaving now. But for the most part, I think we kind of have what that number is going to be for the city. And many of those families are going to private schools.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be a serious discussion about how do we deliver quality education for those city residents. The city, this is the paradox of St. Louis City. It has more households today than in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
There are more housing units that are occupied today. It has fewer residents, though.
Right.
And those residents are the children. And we have to have an honest conversation. Like, if you want families and children to be in a city, you need a support structure that's affordable child care. You need schools that provide reliable transportation before and after schools, and you have to have attainable housing. I'm not against what's being built. I think all the developments happening is great. But I keep asking the question, where is the housing for the American family mm-hmm. with children?
Right.
Where is that being built at? Because there's lots of high-end condos being built in the city. A home just sold from a block here for $1 million.
Right, right.
That's not attainable for the American family.
Mm-hmm. We are going to take a very quick break. When we come back, we'll pick up with this conversation and particularly with this point about where families are choosing to live. If you have a question or comment, give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpr.org. We'll be back in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.
Let's return to our conversation with Ness Sandoval, Professor of Sociology and Demography at St. Louis University, and Ari Obenson, President and CEO of the International Institute of St. Louis. We are talking about population trends here in the St. Louis region, and we are taking calls, and we've received some engagement from folks as well before we started this conversation. One of them comes from Marjorie, who wrote to us on Facebook. Marjorie says, as a native St. Louisan during the 1970s, my goal for college was anywhere but here. Lived in Chicago for nearly 30 years and loved it. After 9/11, I paused to consider the future, and St. Louis became attractive once again. After a slower pace, less traffic, lower housing costs offset the big small town segregation and racism I couldn't wait to escape in my youth. St. Louis is smaller now, more diverse, and has lots of free fun. Yet the divisions remain, and I fear the best and brightest of today's youth will leave and never want to come back, leading to a disintegrating metropolis without the vibrancy of youth and immigration, a fresh solution to our problems. We also heard from Ben, who says that he feels a deep affinity for STL, love what it is despite its many problems, and love what it could be. I could probably move, but I don't want to be part of another city's comeback story. I want to be part of ours. Also, I can afford to own, and that is something, I can own a house, that is, in a walkable neighborhood and still live a nice lifestyle. St. Louis's urban parks are Estill, and my parents and grandparents are still in Estill. Easy access to quality time with them is invaluable as they grow older. So people who have roots here, who have lived elsewhere, who've come back, who are staying for family, I mean, to what extent is all of the sort of the difference or the range in the feelings people have, how does that make that maybe difficult to advocate for change, Ness?
I think, so when we talk about population change, it can be negative, but we have some really good data. Thousands of people are moving into the city. It's hard to believe, but thousands of people are moving into the city from around the country, from tax return data. They're coming in from New York, Philadelphia, Boston, Charlotte, Houston, Dallas, Los Angeles. People are coming because they want to find the American dream here. And some people are coming back to live in the city. The challenge is that we have a few more people who are leaving the city than they're coming in. Mm-hmm. If we can solve that one challenge of how do we stop the 20 people net lost to Dallas or the 30 people net lost to Charlotte, the city will start to grow. And I actually think St. Louis City is actually a great city. I think one of your comments talked about it. It's a 25-minute city, a 25-minute region.
Mm, right.
You have access to these parks, to the rivers, to the zoo, to Forest Park, Tower Grove Park. And so there are a lot of assets in the city. There's tremendous opportunity to reimagine these big streets like Lindell and make them more bike-friendly. This is what this younger generation wants. They mm-hmm. want a bike-friendly city. They want amenities. And so St. Louis should be taking the lead and redesigning the city for a new generation. It may not produce a lot of people, but it's not about population growth. It's about the quality of life and creating a city for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Ari, when you talk with immigrants who are not living in St. Louis City, I mean, are they talking about the same things as being assets that would maybe cause them to think about moving out of the county and into the city?
Well, one of the things that we found out, because we have this Afghan support program that we have essentially been doing a tour around the country and engaging with Afghans. And what we realized, and we're seeing a lot of secondary migration of mm-hmm. Afghans that went to other cities, is that we are able to tell people that in the St. Louis region, you could actually achieve the American dream, own a home, for example, where in Virginia or in Sacramento, it's probably, you can work for 30 years of your lifetime and you would not be able to own a home there. And those are the things that people value as we talk to. Education is the one thing that comes up all the time. And unfortunately, the headlines that we see from time to time about St. Louis is about the negative stuff. It's about the crime and all of that. And those are things that, you know, when I talk to immigrants, I say, well, in many cases, we come from a violent situation and we don't want to be put in a violent situation. Those challenges are some of the things that we confront when we're talking to people. But at the end of the day, like I keep saying, last year alone, we served about 1,634 new arrivals into this community, most of whom, our adults, are working and are living in this community and will probably be here for the next 3 to 4 years. What typically changes is the family situation. And that family situation is probably the most challenging thing because everybody wants to go to the areas where they have larger mm-hmm. family homes,
right.
Stable economic, and that whole perception about safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So as far as those who did come from Afghanistan, how many people are we talking about who came here to St. Louis?
From Afghanistan, we've received just over 1,200 mm-hmm. in the last, since 2021, since the arrivals. But as currently what we're seeing is we still had as our highest arrivals in last year still Afghans, about 367 of them. But we're also seeing trends from the Democratic Republic of Congo. Mm-hmm. We're seeing large numbers from Ukraine. And what is also interesting that we're observing is a significant number of Cubans and Haitians arriving in St. Louis, which has in the past not been typical of what we're seeing. But that is an opening. Another thing that I've been thinking as I listen to this, saying that if we had 2,000 more immigrants arriving, maybe we would have had a net zero. Maybe this could be a challenge that we throw to the St. Louis community, because we can attract people to St. Louis, but it has to be a community-wide effort, mm-hmm. in terms of addressing probably the main challenge that we'll see in arrivals is housing. So that's my challenge that I'm going to throw out to the St. Louis community, and maybe we can work towards closing that gap where we lost 3,250 last year. Can we attract 3,200 immigrants in the same year?
Mm-hmm. So something I think we should address as we're talking here, Ness, you had said that the loss of Black families, Black residents, that is something that is a very serious problem. We have Ron, who is calling from Ferguson. Ron, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
I would like to say that, you know, if you really want to have economic development thrive in St. Louis and growth, you're going to have better family structures. If you look at any neighborhood that's deteriorating, it is a neighborhood basically built up single females with children, with no husbands in the house. So you have to deal with that first, and that has to be a priority. You can't show me anywhere in the country where there are thriving neighborhoods where the vast majority of the people living in those neighborhoods are single females with children. If you deal with that, the crime issues, the school issues, and all of those other issues will go away, and it's the same way around the country and around the world. There are no thriving communities where the vast majority of people in the community are single females with children.
Okay, Ron, thank you so much for calling. So I think there's a lot that we could go into insofar as what Ron has talked about. But insofar as equity goes, and then thinking about what families need, Ness, what are some things that we also need to be thinking about perhaps insofar as the supports that families of today need in order to grow and in order to stay and build?
We need to support families with children. We need to think about affordable childcare, attainable housing. We have to remember if some of these kids, students go out to college, they're coming back with a tremendous amount of student loan. And we know that when students make rational choices, you tend to reduce your fertility rate because you have these payments to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to think about what the common good is. And going back to the caller's question, we need to provide, this starts at a very young age, it starts with kindergarten. We need to provide these support systems to help these families provide an opportunity structure for their children. And oftentimes what's happened in the city and in the region, that opportunity structure is uneven, especially for African Americans. And that's why when you start to look at Charlotte, Houston, Dallas, there's just a different opportunity structure. There's a different morphology, a spatial morphology of inequality in those cities compared to St. Louis, Milwaukee, Chicago. And we're seeing this great migration back to these southern cities. It's not just St. Louis City. It's Chicago, mm-hmm. it's Detroit, it's Milwaukee, that Black residents are finding the American dream in those cities.
So the American dream has come up quite a few times. And Ness, you've talked about opportunity structure. What is the relationship between those two? Maybe the first thing is, what do you mean by opportunity structure?
I'm talking about being able to go to a park and feel safe, being able to access a quality education, public education, being able to enjoy curricular activities after school. You don't have to pay for them. Those are the types of things that the suburbs are offering.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really exist in St. Louis City in parts that have it? Other parts, they're non-existent.
Mm-hmm. So is that also synonymous with American Dream?
I think the American Dream is you want to be able to achieve your aspirations. You talk to young children, they have tremendous aspirations of fulfilling their dreams. But at some point, they reach a ceiling. They go, I cannot achieve my aspiration, but I can achieve something different.
Mm-hmm.
We want to create a structure where every child has the opportunity to achieve their aspirations.
Ari?
I think the American dream for the immigrant family particularly is, and this we hear from people, it's a father that just wants the dignity of work so that he can provide for his children, or a mother who wants to provide the safety of a home for her family, or children that have great ambitions and really just want to change the world. And those are a combination of things that we see with the immigrant family. Every father that I talk to wants a better life for the next generation. And that's a starting point. Now, the children may be more ambitious than that, but mostly the parents are looking for the best place that they can provide a better quality of life for the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the conversation. You know, Nessa's raised this child care conversation, which is crucial.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. And, you know, at the Institute, we're beginning to talk about women, because women are coming here, but women are faced with this conundrum of taking care of children and staying out of work. But that's the best thing that they can do to provide stability for their families, right? So it's a structural conversation, I mean, besides the conversation of housing, but those support systems, even as we are going to, if we want to build, we need to not just build homes or houses. It has to be beyond housing. So as you're building, you're also thinking about the other attractions that you can have, the parks, but childcare, safety in terms of police substations and things like that. That could be ways in which we think differently about how we build communities.
Mm-hmm. So, Ness, population growth is one metric. How seriously should we be taking this?
I think we need to be honest, have an honest conversation about population growth for the St. Louis metropolitan region. We are with Pittsburgh and Cleveland, where we have more people dying than are being born. And that number is going to get bigger every year. And so we have to be realistic. Like we need American-born citizens to move to the St. Louis metropolitan region.
Mm-hmm.
50% of the growth is coming from Latino American-born citizens in the United States. We're 95th in the country in terms of our Latino population size, 95th. We're missing about 300,000 Latinos in our region.
That's a lot.
Right? So if Latinos do not come to our region in any significant numbers, then we have to understand our future is not probably going, we're not going to see much growth, because mm-hmm. 50% of the growth of natural growth is coming from Latinos. And so we have lots of good efforts that are happening with the Mosaic Project, with the International Institute, with the Office of New Americans. If we don't see any big changes over the next 10 years, I think it's okay not to grow.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fine. As long as we're making the investments to have a better public school system, we have a better city, we're creating better safe spaces, mm-hmm. then that's fine.
Ness Sandoval is Professor of Sociology and Demography at St. Louis University, and Ari Obenson is President and CEO of the International Institute of St. Louis. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury with assistance from Maya Norfleet.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STLPR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the news day, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.